school bell tells us it's time for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and we are now ready for Lesson 59. To get the most out of this lesson, go get your Bible, turn to Jeremiah chapter 38, and we're going to be reading the story about the time that Jeremiah was cast into a pit. Now, we've been reading the introduction to this story about how that King Nebuchadnezzar had come up to Jerusalem, and as he had lifted his siege, Jeremiah went out of Jerusalem, and some accused him of trying to run over to join up with the Chaldeans, and he was arrested and put into prison. But while he was in prison, King of Jerusalem, Zedekiah, would come to him and seek counsel of him from the Lord. But that poor king, even though he would seek counsel of Jeremiah, he would not do what Jeremiah said. We'll get into this lesson in just a moment, but I want to tell you while you're turning to Jeremiah 38 that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at the Rock Cliff Church of Christ, and also the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And as superintendent, I have decided I would bring lessons to you that were written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday school classes of 1922. And we're now looking at a lesson he wrote about the time Jeremiah was cast into a print for Sunday, June 11th, 1922. Let's return to Elam's notes, and we'll follow along both with Elam's notes and, as appropriate, with the text itself from the book of Jeremiah. As we were reading in our last class, Zedekiah had secret interviews with Jeremiah. Whenever Zedekiah asked Jeremiah concerning the word of the Lord, Jeremiah frankly, sincerely, and courageously spoke the truth. He said there is a word from Jehovah, and stated what it was, namely, "Thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon." This was not pleasant news to the king, but it was the truth. Jeremiah then asked the king, "Wherein have I sinned against thee, or against thy servants, or against this people, that ye have put me in prison?" Jeremiah was conscious of his rectitude and of having spoken only the word of God. Also he asked the king, "Where now are your prophets that prophesied unto you, saying, the king of Babylon shall not come against you nor against this place?" The prophets were false, and the facts had shown them to be false. By this Jeremiah sought to lead the king to act upon the truth. Jeremiah next earnestly besought the king not to send him back to prison lest he die there. While the king was weak and vacillating and would not follow the word of God, yet he respected Jeremiah and granted his request not to be sent back to prison. He gave orders that Jeremiah be committed to the court of the guard and allowed a loaf of bread daily so long as there should be any in the city. The court of the guard was the quarters of the guards of the palace. Now we're going to read the explanatory notes. But since it was two or three classes ago when we'd read the text, I want to reread that to you so it'll be fresher on our mind. I'm going to be reading from Jeremiah chapter 38, verses 4 through 13. And here's what the text says. Jeremiah 38 and verse 4. Then the princess said unto the king, "Let this man, we pray thee, be put to death, forasmuch as he has weakened the hands of the men of war that remained in the city, and the hands of all the people in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt." And Zedekiah the king said, "Behold, he is in your hand, for the king is not he that can do anything against you." Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon. Now the marginal reading there says into the pit. Into the dungeon of Malachiah, the king's son, that was in the court of the guard. And they let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon there was no water, but mire. And Jeremiah sank in the mire. Now when Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, a eunuch who was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king, then sitting at the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, My lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they've done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they've cast into the dungeon. And he is like to die in the place wherein he is, because of the famine. For there is no more bread in the city. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, Take from hence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. So Ebed-Melech took the men with him, and went into the house of the king under the treasury, and took thence rags and worn-out garments, and let them down by cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. And Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian said unto Jeremiah, Put now these rags and worn-out garments under thine armholes, under the cords. And Jeremiah did so. So they drew up Jeremiah with the cords and took him out of the dungeon. And Jeremiah remained in the court of the guard. These are Elam's notes in that reading. For Jeremiah 38 and verse 4, we read, The princes, Shephatiah, Gedaliah, Jukal, and Pashur, heard the words which Jeremiah spoke to the people, saying, Thus saith Jehovah, He that abideth in this city shall die by the sword of the famine and of the pestilence, but he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live, and his life shall be unto them for a prey, and he shall live. He shall live, and thus saith Jehovah, This city surely shall be given into the hand of the army of the king of Babylon, he shall take it. And when they heard this, they said to the king, Let this man, we pray thee, be put to death. For as much as he weakeneth the hands of the men of the war that remain in this city, and the hands of all the people in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeketh not the welfare of the people, but the hurt. The princes were not like a few well-meaning, it may be, but misguided people of today, who think the very ones who seek their good and the good of the church are their enemies. Paul was considered the enemy by some, for speaking the truth. He asked the Galatians, So then am I become your enemy by telling you the truth? Galatians 4 and verse 16. Jeremiah was the very best friend, and really the only true friend of the king and his princes that the people had. To encourage or even to defend the people in sin is to become their enemies. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. His love is shown in his teaching and correcting his own people. We read about this in the book of Hebrews, beginning in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 4, and reading down to verse 13, we read, Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have not forgotten, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which reasoneth with you as with sons. My son, regard not lightly the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art reproved of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. It is for the chastening that you endure, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father chasteneth not? But if ye are without chastisement, whereof all have been made partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we've had the fathers of our flesh to chasten us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be subject unto the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chasten us as seemeth good to them, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. All chastening seemeth for the present not to be joyous, but grievous. Yet afterward it yieldeth peaceable fruit unto them that have been exercised thereby, even the fruit of righteousness. Wherefore lift up the hands that hang down, and the palsied knees, and make straight the paths for your feet, that that which is lame be not turned out of the way, but rather be healed. So we read, back in Elam's notes, to teach people the truth, to cry aloud and to spare not, to show them their sins, and to persuade them to repent, is to love them and to save them. Jeremiah 38 and verse 5. The king did not want to be counted as the murderer of Jeremiah, and did not really want to kill him. But he again showed his weakness when he listened to the accusation of his princes against Jeremiah, as recorded in this chapter. They sought his life, and the king said, "Behold, he's in your hand, but the king is not he that can do anything against you." The king had neither the courage nor the strength of character to do the right and to protect Jeremiah. It is most necessary and most admirable to stand for the right against the mighty popular current and in the face of opposition and death. Jeremiah 38 and verse 6. The princes did not kill Jeremiah outright, but put him into the dungeon where we would have died most likely, or for of suffocation or of starvation. This dungeon or pit was that of Malachiga, the king's son, and was in the court of the guard. It was deep, because Jeremiah had to be let down into it and drawn up out of it with cords. It was a pit, or cistern, from which water had been exhausted by the famine, but it was damp and filled with foul gases, and the filth and mire in the bottom of the pit were deep. Into this mire Jeremiah sank. It was custom to use such pits for prison. As in the introduction clearly states, Jeremiah had been in prison before, but not in this way. It was the same old story with Jesus and the apostles. Figuratively, Jesus was in the mire and in the deep waters. We read a prophecy about that in the book of Psalms. Let me read to you Psalms 69 verses 1 through 3, and then Psalm 69 verses 14 and 15. Psalm 69 says, "Save me, O God, for the waters are come into my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I'm come to the deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary with my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God." And then in verse 6, Psalm 69, 14 and 15, "Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and from out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overwhelm me, neither let the deep swallow me up. And let not the pit shut its mouth upon me." It is said that this psalm, with other prophecies, concern Jesus. The apostles were imprisoned at different times, and some were killed. Some of their sufferings are described in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 9 through 13. The early disciples suffered likewise. Today and forevermore, all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. All those who are of the flesh now persecute those who are after the Spirit, or who are God's true children. All who have a name to the church members are not Christians, and some church members are as vile slanderers and persecutors of real Christians as Satan can have. It was his own fellow Jews who imprisoned and bitterly persecuted Jeremiah. That's all the time we have for now, and we're going to continue this lesson in the class, in the next class. So the old schoolmaster says, you may now be dismissed.